I was like, I want to double down on this. I want to do this full time. So I took a bet on myself, didn't have any clients then. I was like, I'm just going to go do this full time.
Hey, friend. It's David Nabinsky here in Brooklyn. Here at Portfolio Career Podcast, we help you take ownership of your portfolio career and design the life that you want to live. So excited for this episode with Shivani Berry. I really wanted to learn from Shivani because I was so inspired by her heart-centered leadership business that she has built at Ascend. In this episode, you'll learn how she got started, how she grew Ascend, the role online programs and online learning has played, and other practical tips related to imposter syndrome and conversations in the workplace. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There, you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which has the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced job opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go, Shivani. Shivani, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Likewise. So before we kind of get started, I was curious, what did it feel like going viral on LinkedIn? Tell us about that story.
Yeah. I was really surprised. So for context, like the post that went viral on LinkedIn was last year I went to a networking event and it was about 30 people. Everyone went around and introduced themselves for 3 to 4 minutes. When I got to my turn and I was towards the end, I sped through my introduction in 30 seconds. I just felt like, you know, I don't want to take up too much of people's time. Afterwards, when everyone started mingling, people would come up and ask me like, so what do you do? And that was so annoying because I knew exactly what they did because they spent the time doing it and they told a memorable story around it. So I was really annoyed and frustrated myself when I left the event, especially because like I coach women to, part of it's around like confidence and showing up as you are and not minimizing yourself. And part of it was like, why didn't I just do that? So on a whim, I posted my experience on LinkedIn. I honestly did not think anything of it. I did not expect to see that reaction. And then I got over 4 million views. I was like, whoa. And I got so many messages thanking me, being like sharing, people are being like, I have had the same experience. And that was, I was really grateful for the people who reached out, who shared, who commented, because it made me realize how important it is to talk about more of these day-to-day instances that we tend to brush off, but are actually holding us back or create some kind of stress in our lives every day, but we just don't talk about it. And that gave me, that was in itself like a confidence booster for me to help me realize like, oh, wow, okay, I do have good things I should be sharing. And that was at the beginning of me posting online. And I still do, like every time I hit publish, I'm like, are people going to like it? Is it going to be good? And I think that was in itself like such a confidence booster because it just made me realize like, okay, I do have stories to share. And the more authentic I am, the more vulnerable I am, I'm like, I would hope to make at least one person's life better and just help create a space for these kind of conversations to happen.
So wanting to help one person, but it ended up being 4 million.
I actually thought I would help no one. I was like, let me just post this. And, you know, you're like, normally I'll take hours or, you know, spend some time thinking through what I'm going to post. This one I wrote within 15 minutes. I was like, done. And then I was like, whoa, okay. So yeah, so it was a great experience. And I got to have a lot of really inspiring conversations through it.
Awesome. And you mentioned a little bit around like starting to post more and stuff, but kind of curious about, as we start talking about Ascend a little bit more, like what was it like you're getting your first client? Like, was that a friend? Was that a coworker, a prior coworker? Like, how did that kind of conversation go? And I think sometimes it's easy to connect the dots looking backwards, but in the moment you're like, sure, should we try this? Or tell us a little bit more about that, Shivani.
Yeah, for sure. So I was working full time in tech. I was a product lead and I'd started coaching on the side. I'm really passionate about women's empowerment, especially, I mean, like on a wide range of areas. One topic I particularly care about is at work. I really think we need to have more inclusive and accessible work environments. A big part of that is having women be in leadership roles. When you have underrepresented minorities in leadership roles, that in itself creates kind of like creates change in these environments. And for me, I was like, okay, I was really enjoying coaching. I was like, I want to double down on this. I want to do this full time. So I took a bet on myself, didn't have any clients then. I was like, I'm just going to go do this full time. And for me, I wanted to create an online program. This was before COVID hit. So before people like really were like, yeah, okay, you can actually learn online. I believe that online learning, there is an opportunity there to where you can create spaces for people to really connect with each other, to open up and accelerate their pace. And so for me, I basically just started doing some free workshops and testing. People liked it and got a lot of feedback that way. I came from a product background, so had my product hat on and on iterating. And then my first paying client, I'm going to do like a small boot camp around it. My vision was to create a leadership program for women to help women like develop the skills they need to really excel in the workplace. So I remember when I like first did that, I just posted it on LinkedIn, posted in some communities that I knew. That was super, super nerve-wracking because it was the first time I was coming out publicly and being like, I'm going to start my own company. I'm going to create a program for women to help them grow. And I remember when I first posted that, I got so many positive responses from people. So ex-colleagues, friends of friends, then just kind of hustling. So like sharing, being like, this is what we're going to talk about in the program. I remember I didn't have a website yet. So I created a PDF document. I colored it pink for some reason. I thought like that would just make it like look more professional. And I was like, I'm going to charge $50 and this is what it is. Because for me, I was like, I want to charge something. I don't care about the money, but I wanted to people have a decision that they have to make mentally around. And, and I think when you have to pay a bit, you at least commit. And people knew it was my beta program. So really a lot, it was just people looking at what the curriculum was from my workshop. I got some testimonials to go with it. Looking at my experience and trusting that credibility there. So it was, I had one friend in it, but the rest of it were people who had discovered me through different communities or maybe were referred by former colleagues of people on their teams. And like, and that was really, that instilled a lot of confidence in me when I had people who knew me, but didn't know me as a coach. And they were sending their colleagues, their teammates on it, or their friends or sisters. And they were like, you should do this program. And that also made me realize just how important it is to have people believe in you. Cause that was a big motivator for me to keep going. And I was like, okay, like I know I already believe in myself, but now like all these other people do who I didn't really think that they would. And so not because I thought I was like underqualified. I just thought that like people, they've never seen me in this context. And so it's like, okay, I can figure it out. And then after that, I just came like one step at a time. But the first few, yeah, I was so nervous. Asking people to pay you money to do something is, and then you want to make sure you deliver. Like even now, my number one goal is to make sure everyone in the program has a really great experience. And that desire, that like the nervousness that comes with it, the butterflies come with it, has not gone away. Even working with like hundreds of people later on, like now, it just like doesn't go away. And maybe it will eventually, but I hope not. I love it. Like I love the people that I get to work with. I've made so many friends. I've gone to meet so many awesome women, and I want to make sure they always have a really, really great experience. And that's always for me, the thing I want to solve for first.
Wow. Response gave me some butterflies. I think I heard didn't have a website and barely knew the people that initially signed up.
And then it just started, then people started referring their friends and then I created a website and was able to share that to make it feel more professional. Now it's just growing by word of mouth. So now it's come into, I think a lot of it has been, I've been in our members' shoes. So I used to own different business and product initiatives at large companies like PayPal and high growth startups. When I was moving up to management, which is a really steep transition point in our careers, I learned how to get buy-in, motivate my teams, advocate for myself, all by making a ton of mistakes. Some guidance, primarily a lot of mistakes. I remembered when I first moved into like this like product lead role, I was meeting with my team to align on what are we going to work on in the next quarter. So figuring out our roadmap, I went to that meeting feeling really good about the product feature I was going to pitch. I thought it was obvious why it was a great idea. I remember when I started sharing the idea with my team, I just saw a lot of confused looks, some annoyed faces. People started asking me like, why are we talking about this? Why would we build this feature over another feature? It just did not go well. I walked out of the meeting feeling so stressed, feeling like I just failed my first roadmap meeting, which is a pretty critical meeting. And I was really confused because I had done my research. I knew this was a good idea. In hindsight, when I realized, after reflecting on it, I realized I hadn't actually walked them through my thought process. So when I learned how to influence my team, when I learned how to influence stakeholders, when I learned how to lead and really motivate my team, I felt so much more confident. I was able to move up faster in my career and impact not only my teams, but also our executives and our company's board of directors. So these experiences combined with the time I spent studying at Harvard Business School to get my MBA inspired me to create Ascend. I want to elevate more women into leadership. I believe that's a big way we see the change that we need to see in today's world. But I realized that we currently don't learn how to lead and influence except through trial and error. And so I want to create a safe space for women to come learn this in a really practical manner where you can get to learn with a bunch of other really highly qualified people. And it's just been amazing to see how people have grown out of the program. For example, you know, we've had people like Diana, who works in SAP at marketing. She joined the program right when she came off maternity leave. And she used the program strategies to help her drive better alignment in meetings. The performance improved so much that she got promoted soon after the program. And she credited the program in helping her do so. And so she and like so many other of our Ascend members are just incredible people who've just been able to accelerate their growth from it. And so it's been really, really gratifying to be part of.
Yeah. That's really, really inspiring of like just taking a leap and jumping in and then trusting yourself, trusting that your mistakes from the past will help other people.
Yeah. And I think it's also, you know, taking calculated risks, like doing it one step at a time, validating and then moving on. And I just seen that, you know, all the struggles I faced for the most part of my career were not unique to me. So many of my friends, so many of my peers were facing the same challenges around how do you get people excited about your ideas? How do you make sure, how do you push back against dominant personality, struggling with confidence, struggling with what do you do when you're a new manager? And I just found there wasn't a good space for us to actually learn these skills in a really practical manner. And so that's the space that I wanted to create to really help women move up faster in their careers.
Yeah. And the you mentioned the different steps. Talk to us a little bit about the different steps of your business. What was, you know, if you say, oh, this was an inflection point or this was a anything jump out, Shivani?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it was like first, I just did live sessions. And so it was really around like, just, it was more like Q&A, like, let's just get together and see what questions you have. Like, here's some material that I put together. But, and then, you know, as I learned, and then it's thinking about how do you get the community to interact with each other? How do you, I realized that we have such an incredible group of people together. I describe our community as a group of high caliber, but low ego women. Everyone comes in, is really driven to achieve their goals, but also equally as excited to help each other. And so our sessions are filled with tears and cheering and seriousness and laughter. And it's this like really special combination. And it's like thinking about, okay, how do we continue to like bring people together in this space where you can have fun, but also learn at the same time.
And so then when online learning and online programs started to pick up last year, was that another kind of catalyst or boost, or like kind of inadvertent tailwind?
Yes, I would say so. So, you know, Ascend got started before COVID, and I think it definitely helped. Initially, I was really nervous going into it, as I'm sure like most people were in March, April. And I think when everyone was trying to figure things out, and it's, you know, often I'd hear like, I'm a mom and now my kids are at home, or, you know, even if you weren't a parent, trying to figure out like what this looks like. But I think as people got more adjusted into their environments you know, it's like, I have this time at home, I want to grow, or this is like, I'm not going to let this, you know, I'm one of the fortunate ones that I'm able to balance all this right now. And I want to continue to invest in myself. And yeah. And like you said, like, I think people have gotten used to online learning, and there are ways that you can do this in a way that, that allows you to build that connection and still really pushes you growing. And it's just been testing and iterating along the way. And so I'd say I'd say like that was definitely one, I think, and bringing the community together. And to date, Ascend has grown primarily through word of mouth. And so it's continuing to lean in on that. And that's been great, because like so many of our members are coming in from our friends of people or colleagues. And, you know, that has helped us create this really special space.
Mm-hmm. What has been some of the unexpected challenges from growing a business like this?
Yeah, I would say just my own self-doubt. So I consider myself a very confident person when I was before starting Ascend, and I still am. It was just that I have felt like an imposter so much more than I ever did. I remember, you know, now as a founder, I often feel like an imposter because when I look around to my peers, I see a lot of white male VC back founders. And so when everyone's talking about fundraising publicly, they're talking about their investor logos, how much they've raised, I can start feeling not qualified because I don't have any of that. I am a woman of color. I've decided to bootstrap my business. When I get out of my own head, I'm really proud of the decisions that I've made. I still stick to them. I'm proud of like how quickly we've grown, what we're building, the impact that we're having. But it's so easy to start spiraling I use a lot of the exercises that we do in the program. Imposter syndrome is a big topic for us in the program. So one of the exercises that has been powerful for me and our members is asking yourself three reflection questions. So one, what do you feel an imposter about? Oftentimes, half the battle is acknowledging what you feel an imposter about. Maybe you're new to your role. Maybe you come to from a non-traditional background. Maybe no one in the room looks like you. For me, when I was working, I felt like an imposter when I got promoted to manager. I had never done the role before, and I was feeling just really nervous about that and like had a lot of anxiety around it. Two is, who are you comparing yourself to? Usually we compare ourselves to someone who's more senior than us. For example, when I got promoted to manager, I was comparing myself to my manager who had 20 plus years experience than me. Or we don't even know who we're comparing ourselves to. It's this black hole. And then three, what are three reasons why your manager or, you know, someone who you think can make an assessment on how you're doing, what would they say about why you're deserving? Because we tend to be really hard on ourselves. So having a third party perspective makes it easier for us to get out of our own head and be honest. And so that's an exercise that we do a lot in the program. And then discussing it together is also really helpful, because then you realize, oh, wow, I'm not alone. A bunch of other smart, qualified women face the same challenges that I do. And so, for example, in Ascend, we've helped countless women overcome imposter syndrome. One person that comes to mind is Katrina. She joined the program right when she got promoted to entry manager at GitHub. She was starting to manage a new team. Similar to me, when I got promoted to manager, she wasn't feeling very confident in it. She was nervous whether or not she could support her team. And so she used the program strategies, including that imposter reflection, to help her realize she is qualified, to help her build rapport with her team and be able to support them in a way that to really develop them. And it's just been incredible to see women like Katrina step into their own power.
Has pricing strategies or program development, or like how have you been thinking about those, and what are some lessons learned on kind of figuring out what to bring to the marketplace?
You know, I think it's really around on that is test, like let's listen to customer feedback to testing. And so what I was mentioning earlier around I come from a product background. And so applying that, so being really deliberate about like, what is that one thing I want to test right now? And how am I going to go about and testing it and de-scoping everything else? And then just putting it out there. Done is better than perfect. And I apply that in the program. I apply that when, you know, I'm like building a brand online or whatever that is for me. And just like putting things out there and just learning. I think that's the fastest way And I found that the times when I do hold back on things because I'm waiting for them to be quote unquote perfect, it just gets me nowhere. But when I do put it out there, usually it's much better than I thought I actually was. I was being too hard on myself. And two, I get a lot more insights around it. And the third bonus is it holds me more accountable. Because once I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this, and I publicly say it, I'm going to lead this workshop, then I'm like, okay, now I have to get the deck together. Where if I didn't do that, then I just tend to procrastinate. And so that's been like a really nice third bonus around helping me kind of like move things forward. It's just like putting it out there. And so you not only do you get that really rich feedback, but you also hold yourself accountable to keep pushing forward.
What's the one new thing you're testing now or going to be testing next so we can hold you accountable to it?
Yes. My goal is, so I've like focused a lot on like LinkedIn. My goal is to like post more on Twitter. And so my goal is like post once a day on Twitter, probably more, but yes, I still say it right here. Perfect. And now I just have to do it. I found that Twitter has been a really nice way to just meet great people and just make new friends and get to learn what other people are doing and just get to like learn a lot. Like there's so many times I'll be scrolling through it and I'll just be like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Or I read something and it inspires me to about something, it like inspires like another idea in me. So I want to continue to like doing more of that and leaning into it. So giving to the Twitter community more than I am probably consuming right now.
Got it. People are sprinting to follow you if they are not already. And they're going to check in on you. So be careful.
Please do it. Now I would love that.
So you mentioned the people that you work with. How do you help them through when let's say they're working at a 9-to-5 and they're like, I want to start a personal project, or, you know, I want to share my ideas on Twitter more, but I'm worried about what my boss or my manager may say. Like, how do you help people, allow them to, yeah, share their ideas and develop, you know, credibility in their own kind of personal brand?
Yeah. Personal brand is a really important topic. I'm glad you brought this up because it is something that I think many of us actually overlook. And we just assume that our reputations will build for ourselves or people. And the thing is, like, I would say your brand is what your reputation is at work or outside of work. And so you have to be really deliberate around what it looks like for you. So in a sense, when we spend time talking about our personal brand, and it's thinking about one of the exercises I learned from one of my mentors, Sharon McCollum. She is the former CFO of Best Buy and has been on the board of Whole Foods. So just like overall, like very, very impressive and has had a ton of great leadership experience. And one thing she taught me around like was brand adjectives. So figuring out like, what are the words that you want people to describe you, put it down and then actually go embody it. So for me at work as a leader, it was something around like being highly strategic, being a very good listener. It wasn't just a good listener. I want to be a very good listener. Being authentic. Vulnerability is something I've struggled with for a long time. I thought vulnerability was a sign of weakness. And it was actually through my own leadership experience, and thanks to Brené Brown, has helped me realize that vulnerability is actually a strength. And so that is something that I've also carried over now at Innocent. I want to be authentic. I want to be real with people. I think that's the best way that I can help people. And I want to create a space where people feel really comfortable opening up. It's the honesty. It's when we remove our masks is when we can really grow, when we can really face on our challenges, openly talk about it, and like we can help each other. And so as you're thinking about starting your own brand, just like be really deliberate around like, what does that look like for you? When people think of you, what do you want them to think of? And I think it's great if people want to have side hustles or kind of like have side projects. One of our members, Zara, she is an engineering manager at Salesforce, and she also has built up this incredible following on Instagram and many other social media tools around multi-passionate women in tech. And so, and you know, she'll have people who are in tech and they're also models or they are writers. And so I think it's amazing if you want to go do something on the side too. And that actually complements like the skills that Zara has been used to be successful at work has helped her be successful in these new endeavors that she's pursuing. And, you know, it's been, and I would say, like, unless your boss has, unless it's like directly competitive to your work, I would imagine most companies would be supportive of it. And, you know, if you want to build a brand around your domain, maybe you want to be known as the best engineer in X field or the best salesperson for enterprise software or whatever that is for you. You want to be known as someone around like DE&I, you know, that is all stuff that you can build on your own brand. You can like go talks about, post about, write articles about, and you can also carry that over to work. Companies are always looking for spokespeople to go speak at conferences or to participate in the company blogs. And so I wouldn't see these as necessarily as conflicts with each other. They can actually make you stand out more at work and then on your own, even outside of work.
I love that idea about, well, many of them, but that one particular, I haven't heard it thought about as much, of approaching the company and saying, hey, we have a blog. Here's a recent experience, or here's my story. You know, can I guest post, you know, just taking, you know, taking some of the work off of the plate of somebody else who's like, what are we going to write about this week? Or I wonder if we had some good ideas, and just being proactive and saying, here's some scoop, and, you know, here's the draft, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. It's a win-win for people. I think people get nervous about asking to do it because they're like, well, what if they say no? Or what if I'm not good enough? Or for whatever reason they're having in their mind. And usually companies are always looking for people. So if you're raising your hand, you're helping them. They will probably help you write it. So you're learning along the way how to go do this, and you're getting your name out there.
Yeah, love it. Shivani, I have an idea that, like, sometimes people are kind of like one email away from, you know, a new business partner, a new job, a new podcast guest. Any examples of like a random serendipitous email that, you know, just kind of turned into something a lot more than you initially anticipated?
Oh, yes. I'm also like a strong believer in just whether it's an email or a meeting or, you know, just like reaching out. My personal philosophy is you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So just send it. If the person says no, it's fine. You'll move on. Getting a no is very normal. But if they say yes, it is such a great opportunity. There's so many that come to mind. I remember when I was graduating from Harvard for business school, in the middle, like in summer, we have to go do an internship. And I like really wanted to work at this startup called Intercom. You know, they weren't taking interns. They were like really small company. And so I just reached out to someone asking for an intro. I wasn't sure if they said yes or not. But basically I just like reached out, spent a lot of time preparing that email, created like a short pitch on like what I could contribute to the company. And it turned into, so like they said yes in the meeting. Then I came in and met with them. I got the internship. I came back full-time after I graduated from business school. It was like, it all started with one email and just putting a lot of thought into it. Our recent example is we, in Ascend, I host a women in leadership series. So every month, even more regular than that, I'll talk to a really successful woman leader around, you know, how do they influence at work? How do they empower their teams? What have they learned from their career? Open and honest conversations around what it takes to be successful at work. And so much of it we can learn directly from people who have been in our shoes. I remember one of our guests, so I really want to get Karen Peacock on to join us. She is the CEO of Intercom. And so, you know, I knew her from the back in the days, but I was like, she's a CEO. She's going to be really busy. What is she, like, I don't know. But I was like, again, I was like, let me just ask. Worst case happens. She says no. And she said yes. And it was just an amazing conversation. Afterwards, one of our attendees messaged me saying that her boss had been pushing her to accept a promotion into a leadership role for the past 3 years. And the conversation with Karen inspired her to accept the promotion. And that was just so incredible. That all just started from, again, one email, just asking. And it turned into a really great conversation that impacted many, including someone really taking on a role and moving up in their career.
Wow. That's powerful. Well, Shivani, as we're starting to wrap up, is there anything else that you think that we missed? And while you're thinking about that, please also let listeners know where they can follow up in addition to Twitter. Please let listeners know where they can learn more.
Yeah, definitely. So if you want to follow me on Twitter and hold me accountable, follow me at Shivani S. Berry. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Shivani Berry. And check out Ascend's leadership program. Our program starts at the end of this month. The website is weascend.co. So if you're interested in joining, if you want to develop, if you want to learn how to have your ideas taken seriously, you want to learn how to lead and learn it with an awesome community of women, come join us. So you can apply at weascend.co. And this has been really fun. Thanks so much for having me, David.
Thank you, Shivani. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, friend. Thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Would love to hear what you learned and what you enjoyed. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever is best for you. And as a reminder, I'm just one email away as well. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to my newsletter called One Email Away, which includes the best insights from the podcast and friend-sourced opportunities. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Thank you so much.